madness. Apropos of sleep, that sinister adventure of all our nights. We may say that men go to bed daily with an audacity that would be incomprehensible if we did not know that it is the result of ignorance of the danger. Baudelaire. May the merciful gods, if indeed there be such, guard those hours when no power of the will or drug that the cunning of men devises can keep me from the chasm of sleep. Death is merciful, but there is no return therefrom. But with him who is come back out of the nethermost chambers of night, haggard and knowing, peace rests nevermore. Fool that I was to plunge with such unsanctioned frenzy into mysteries no man was meant to penetrate. Fool or god that he was, my only friend, who led me and went before me, and who in the end passed into terrors which may yet be mine. We met, I recall, in a railway station, where he was the center of a crowd of the vulgarly curious. He was unconscious, having fallen in a kind of convulsion which imparted to his slight back-clad body a strange rigidity. I think he was then approaching 40 years of age, for there were deep lines in the face, wan and hollow-cheeked, but oval and actually beautiful, and touches of grey in the thick, waving hair, and small, full beard which had once been of the deepest raven black. His brow was white as the marble of Pentelicus, and of a height and breadth almost godlike. I said to myself with all the ardor of a sculptor that this man was a foam statue out of antique Hellas, dug from a temple's ruins and brought somehow to life in our stifling age, only to feel the chill and pressure of devastating years. And when he opened his immense, sunken, and wildly luminous black eyes, I knew he would be thenceforth my only friend. The only friend of one who had never possessed a friend before. For I saw that such eyes must have looked fully upon the grandeur and the terror of realms beyond normal consciousness and reality. Realms which I had cherished in fancy, but vainly sought. So as I drove the crowd away, I told him he must come home with me and be my teacher and leader in unfathomed mysteries. And he assented without speaking a word. Afterward, I found that his voice was music, the music of deep viols and of crystalline spheres. We talked often in the night and in the day when I chiseled busts of him and carved miniature heads in ivory to immortalize his different expressions. Of our studies, it is impossible to speak, since they held so slight a connection with anything of the world as living men conceive it. They were of that vaster and more appalling universe of dim entity and consciousness which lies deeper than matter, time and space, and whose existence we suspect only in certain forms of sleep, those rare dreams beyond dreams which come never to common men, and but once or twice in the lifetime of imaginative men. The cosmos of our waking knowledge, born from such an universe as a bubble is born from the pipe of a jester, touches it only as such as a bubble may touch its sardonic source when sucked back by the jester's whim. Men of learning suspected...